Take your songbook, turn to page number 288. Let's stand together as we sing Never Alone, 288. Philippians chapter 3, we'll read verses 13 and 14 and just talk a little bit about goals, things that need to be accomplished, should be accomplished, and things that we're trying to accomplish. We're getting close to the end of the school year, so I thought I'd encourage our kids tonight. It's a difficult time to be going to school during the spring. Difficult time to be, say, if you're building a house and you're getting close to finishing it down to the end, both for the homeowner and for the builder, I guess, because the homeowner's trying to hurry up. The builder's probably trying to hurry up and get to the other one so you could possibly cut some corners you wouldn't normally cut there towards the end. Maybe that's what happens in some medical situations. Some doctors book too many procedures in a day and starts cutting corners towards the end. Who knows? But I know towards the end of things, it's a difficult time for anybody. Philippians 3:13, the Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And so likewise, so if it's difficult at the end of the school year, difficult at the end of a project, it's probably difficult sometimes when you get close to the end of your Christian life. It's a point on the man wants to die and after this judgment. So it's easy just to let up, slow up, and coast, perhaps. But we're to occupy until he comes. That's what Scripture says. So tonight I just want to encourage you just a little bit through this. I'm going to say a slogan. And I probably about, I'd say 70% of the people here would know it. The younger generation would not know it. But if you ever heard this slogan, this here slogan, "Good to the last drop." Who is it? Because it sticks with you. They wanted their coffee to be good to the last drop. You ever got a cup of coffee, got down to the end, and it was some dregs down in there? Get in your mouth. Gets a little cold down there towards the bottom. Just not as good. Well, I want to tell you that serving God is good to the last drop. And finishing the goal, finishing what we've set out to do, to finish what we're here to accomplish. Some of the kids are getting close. I know they were telling me a while ago on the bus ride over here from down. One kid had 13 days left, one kid had 10. That's all they're thinking about, is the last day. Now, when I went to school, it may be changed now, maybe they don't do this, but when I went to school, the last couple of weeks, we had what was called finals. I remember in the state of Louisiana, at the end of the 11th grade year and the end of the 12th grade year, you had to pass an exit exam. So you'd pass all year long. And if you didn't pass the exit exam, you would not be able to walk with a certificate. And some of them passed, did great throughout the year, you know, maybe C, B average, but then come down to the end, it ain't important, they're not going to hold me back. And they held them back because they just gave up. How about running, these Olympic runners? Well, they get to going around there and around there and around there, and that one guy's hanging back just a little bit, and they look over his shoulder, and he's, good 12, 13 feet back, and they let up, and the other guy picks it up and loses the race at the finish line. Led the whole thing, but at the very finish line, at the last 20 yards, let up, ease up, and lose the race. It's tempting. It's a tempting factor. At the end of any job, at the end of your normal work day, just take one day for instance. At the very end of the work day, it's very tempting to let up. Oh man, I'm fixing to be off in about an hour. Your mind's wandering. You're out there, you know, and there's a weariness. You get tired. The love of this world did something to Demas, didn't it? Well, I told you, I studied that out, and it appears to me that Demas was in house arrest with Paul in Rome. And then at the end of his testimony, Demas had forsaken. How in the world you'd be under 18 months of house arrest with a man for gospel's sake and Demas? Now think about old Judas, 3 years and some with the Lord Jesus, in his earthly ministry. lost, died because he wanted something that wasn't time. And he, you know, it takes all kind of forms that gets at us. And this scripture says, brother, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Sometimes, you know, thinking about those past victories gets you. I had the privilege of preaching over at Dr. Phillips last month. Actually, the beginning of this month. And I was over there preaching, and after I got to talk to one of their football players, and he was a senior graduating, and he told me the story about this year's state championship. They had went into the state championship game and was winning. I think he told me it was 10-0. I think he said 4 minutes something left in the game, ended up losing the game 14-10. So what happened? He said, we thought we had it. Started cruising. The other team saw 10 points and it wasn't out of reach. The devil sees your testimony and you're not out of reach. The Bible's very plain that we should give no place to the devil. When we give place to the devil, that means we're giving an area of opportunity for him to trip us up. He knows his days are numbered. And he's not giving up. He is not giving up because he knows his end. He knows his number. He knows the thing where he's going to end up. But he's going to stay busy trying to rob people of their testimonies, rob people of salvation. The God of this world, the Bible says, has blinded the eyes. Sometimes blind the eyes through Christians who just cruise. We just cruise along, you know, we're okay, you know, and there's a ripple effect that happens. That football player told me, he said, what happened, our cornerback had great recovery speed. So he was always allowing folks to get beyond him as a temptation for the quarterback to throw it so he could try to make an interception. Well, it's the fourth quarter, 4 minutes left. He was depending on the safety to come over and give help. And the wide receiver blew past him. Then all of a sudden it's 7-10. 3 minutes and 20 seconds left. Their energy is lifted while Dr. Phillips' energy was sucked out of them. You see the ripple effect? So now you put the defense back in the game and they're on their heels because all of a sudden, field goal ties us up. We go to overtime. A touchdown wins. I may have the score a little bit wrong there, but it was really similar to that. And I don't remember all. What I'm saying is that he said, out of his own mouth, we saw the clock. Fourth quarter. We're up by 10. 4 minutes left. He's trusting on his recovery speed. And if that didn't get it, he was trusting the safety. And they lost the game. Sometimes we trust our recovery speed, don't we? Well, I'll do this and I'll get off in this, but I'll run right back as quick as I can to the altar. And surely, God will forgive me. And I'll be back in his good graces. The Bible says there are going to be two in the field, one taken, one left. Two in the bed, one taken, a little too late. In the moment of the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says that we're going to be caught up out of here. You not staying at it and pushing at it and pulling all the way through to the end on any job in school, Can you imagine go through all year with an A average, and at the end of the last 2 weeks, you take those finals, and you just cruise along, you're joking, you're thinking about summer, you're thinking about, you know, being off of school, and you make a D on that final test. And then you come home and tell, well, what he said was going to be on the test wasn't on the test. It's the teacher's fault now. He didn't go over all the and the ripple effect. Whereas you're up for a scholarship because you had an A average and honors the roll, now, because of a D, because you can sit down and cruise, no scholarship. Lord, have mercy, preacher. We want out of school. I'm talking about school life, dear friend. We have been granted a scholarship that cannot be pulled from us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Why waste it? The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The ripple effect of cruising. At the end, my grandkids, great-grandkids, I think there's some in here that's got great-grandkids. Grandkids, all these bus kids, Sunday school kids. You know what usually happens? The result of letting up, emotional letdown. Emotional letdown. It also, when you cruise and let up and you fail and falter at a goal or something, it hinders future performance. Now you get gunshot. Now it's in your mind. What was his name? That famous baseball player just wrote a book, Ankiel. Pitching major leagues. Thought he had it. I mean, made it. There's only a small percentage goes up to the Major League Baseball. Got up there and he said, I threw a pitch and it went a little wild. And in his mind, he said, that wasn't right. And he went back down and he had to come. They sent him down. He had to come back to the Major League as an outfielder and has never pitched again because of the mind. He couldn't throw a strike. They put him down in the minor leagues. Wasn't nobody in the stands. Just a team trying to develop him. Throw strike after strike after strike after strike. Get back up in the major leagues. All the lights, all the cameras. And couldn't perform. Could not perform. Do you understand the Bible says there's a great cloud of witnesses. It looks down upon you. How are you performing under all that? How are you performing? Listen, what should we do about the end and the end of goals? And you know, it applies to many things. I told you, school, projects, work, retirement, so forth and so on, life, Christianity. We need to keep our mind on the work. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Those victories and those things are nice, but those past victories are not going to win you a victory tomorrow. Those past failures don't mean you're going to fail tomorrow. You've got to forget those things which are past. Pressing on to those things. Keep your mind on the work at hand. Do what needs to be done. Sometimes we just simply don't do what needs to be done. We need to get to the point where we take personal responsibility for everything, every minute, every hour of our life. From the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to bed, we're responsible for every minute. Nobody else. God has given that to you as a gift. And do what needs to be done. Another thing, let me encourage you, finish the things that you have started. Even the smallest things. Finish it. Stay with it. Giving up on something halfway through or almost at the end, it does not help you to become a better person. Stay with it. Finish it out. Go all the way through with that thing. Recognize that the things that I am doing, it's a picture of my character. Think about it like this, you guys are in school. Let's stay with that example. I'm not a proponent that everybody has to go to college. I think there's some people better off going to trade labor and work and work and work. I am a proponent that everybody needs to finish high school. You need to. And if you haven't finished, I encourage you to go back and get your GED. Go back. You say, well, preacher, I don't think I can handle it. I'm sure that we can get some folks around here that tutor you through that thing. You need to. So you go to put in an application at work, get a job, say painting. This guy can paint, you can paint. This guy's got a high school diploma or a GED and you don't. When the employer looks at it, he said, well, this guy is going to be a little bit more disciplined. He's going to finish through with something. Just by simply the paperwork. It may not be true. I'm just going to be honest with you. You, without, may work harder and way harder and be a far better worker. But when they're looking at paper, that's a simple fact. Stay with it. Stay with it. And, you know, if God blesses you, go to college, stay with it. Get your degree in whatever, go to a trade school, whatever. If you get you a job, don't look to be staying at the same place for the next 50 years. I mean, stay the same job, but not in the same level. Work hard, impress, strive, accomplish. Because you are a representative of God. You're a representative of Christ here on this earth. And the Bible says that we're not to do things for our service. The Bible even says if we got a bad employer, we're to do right. I mean, awful. It's never good to run down your employer anyway. I think the old saying says like this, don't bite the hand that feeds you. If you're not getting along or can't work at your job, I mean, go find another one. Don't talk them down. Because you're talking to somebody and they liable to want to up on you and go tell the boss on you. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Stay at it. Resolve to follow through with life in general, but especially in Christianity, especially in your work for the Lord. Stay at it to the end. I mean, stay at it. Start, I mean, you know, you can help others by just staying faithful. Then they look at you and say, wow, how in the world are they so faithful for all these years? And it encourages you, pushes you up to the next level. I'm like, man, I want to accomplish that. I want to be like Paul. I finish my course. Finish my course. Determine what your own course is too, by the way. Maybe I'll help you with that. Some of us trying to run and do with somebody else's. God hadn't made us all the same. We're not cookie cutter paste outs and copy machine copies. We're individuals. I mean, learn from them. But don't try to be something. Be yourself in Christ. Be yourself in Christ. Do things one at a time sometimes. You know those saying, I can't do that, I got too many irons in fire. Maybe you need to pull the iron out of the fire so you can do better at one or two or three things than you can at six things. Some of life will wear you out. Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me encourage you to hang in. Stay there. Stay faithful. Do not lose sight of what we're here to do for 1 minute. For 1 minute. You heard these commercials on the radio about texting and driving. If you look down at your phone for a minute, or text, and you look down, that they say by the time you look back up, you've traveled a football field. If you go on a certain mile an hour, I don't know, I think it's like if you was going 45, you look down and read the text, and by the time you look up, you've traveled 100 yards. I haven't tried it. I'm not going to go out there and get in the road and look down and, hey, Brother Jim, stand there and mark me. I'm just telling you what the radio says. I do know this. If I look down, I look back up, I've gone forward if I got my foot on the gas. Whether it's 100 yards or 50 yards, I've gone forward. Whatever you do, dear friend, keep your eyes on Jesus, because if you look down, life's still moving. Hang in there. Life's going to hit you sometimes with a knuckle sandwich sometimes too. Dude, be honest with you. Life's not fair. All this foolish talk going on around us that life is supposed to be fair to everybody. Everybody's supposed to be equal. Everybody should have their little safe zone. Your safe zone's in heaven. Your safe place is in heaven. I'm just traveling through. Life ain't going to be fair. Hang in there. Jesus is always fair. Always fair. So, the results we're looking for, I guess I want to encourage, is this. What is the prize? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we're pressing for. We're pressing for that. Father, I thank you for this day. I pray, Lord, you bless. Thank you, Lord, for your word.